Hey there, everyone. It's Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, the program where we talk about the Akashic Records. We explain the Akashic Records, and beyond that, we take your questions about the Akashic Records. And tonight, we have some email questions, and we're going to be talking about this past week of what has kept you in bondage. And what do you feel resurrected from today? You know, it's a very important day. This past week has been a very important week. It encompasses a lot of things. It encompasses the Passover, which is about the Hebrews, the Jews, being released out of Egypt. The first Seder, first and second Seder, was this past Monday and Tuesday, and then of course today was Easter Sunday, where Jesus is said to have risen and been resurrected, and has been resurrected for all of us. So, what's interesting about all this is that when we use this from a spiritual point of view. I mean, not that that's not spiritual, but I'm talking about from a symbolically spiritual point of view. We have to really look at what that means to us in our life. It's not just a story. It's not just a, you know, the Bible is full of information that we can use for, I mean, it's not just interesting stories. It's really about us taking the meaning of the stories and seeing where they take us. So I want you to just think for a moment about what has kept you in bondage up to this point. So, in thinking about that, and I do want to take your calls, and you can email questions. So if you'd like to call in tonight, I would love to talk to you. The telephone number is 415-762-1161. And my email address, and I'm right in front of my computer, so you can certainly email a question, is info, I-N-F-O, AkashicWisdom.com, just like the program, AkashicWisdom.com, Akashic, and then the word wisdom, WISDOM.com. So I want you to let's talk about for a moment what has kept you in bondage. Many times, what keeps us in bondage is our perceptions of how life is, or our relationships with people, or the perceived relationships we have with people, or the perceived wrongs that people have done to us. And the reason I say perceived is because even though we may have suffered through the indiscretions of other humans, we also have the choice to release that, to be resurrected from those wounds, to allow ourselves to be resurrected and healed, to allow ourselves to purify and release that which no longer serves us. And the resurrection that we feel in our heart frees us. It doesn't free the perpetrator, if you would think of the person as the perpetrator, because their issues are their issues. You can really never free them. You can never free them, their bondage or their guilt, no matter what you do, because the only one that can free them from their guilt or their bondage is them. The only one you can free, and I want you to really hear this, the only one you can free and you can resurrect and heal is you. You're not letting them off the hook by forgiving. You're not saying it was okay. What you're doing is resurrecting yourself to move into your greatness and not allowing any baggage or bondage to hold you back anymore. So I encourage you to consider allowing yourself the luxury, the blessing, and the gift of your own freedom and your own resurrection. Real important. And if you'd like to discuss how to do that, if you're having a hard time with it, if you need some direction with it, that's what this program's for. The program is to call in, talk to me, and I will bring forth the information from the record, from the Akashic record, to help you understand more about why things have happened in your life and how you can release them. This is not about the blame game. This is not about saying it's someone else's fault. It's about what was the purpose for the indiscretion or the wounding, and how can I get past it? What do I need to do? And so if you're having a challenge with letting things go, I encourage you to give us a call. Give me a call, and I will give you the benefit of the wisdom of the Akashic Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones, the Akashic Record Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones. And that number again is 415-762-1161. And there won't be waiting, so if you call in and we're talking, somebody else can also call in at the same time. Before I get to one of my email questions that has come up, I want to just mention that next week I'm going to have Rayon from San Diego on the show with me. If you'll remember, Lori Rayon is an animal communicator, and she also works with the Akashic Records there in San Diego. And she is a student and friend of mine. And she has invited me to come to San Diego and to teach another Level 1 Akashic Record workshop. And that Akashic Record workshop is going to be on May 1st and 2nd. And I'm also going to be lecturing in San Diego. Actually, it's in Carlsbad. Both the class and the lecture will be in Carlsbad. And actually, it'll probably be more in Oceanside. But that area, Carlsbad, Oceanside area. And I'm going to be lecturing, and this is open to the public, and it's only $15 for the lecture. It's the 28th, and I am going to be bringing forth messages from the Akashic Records for a special message for those people gathered, and then individual messages for the people who attend. So the time on that is from 7 to 9:30. It's Wednesday night, April 28th. And if you're interested in registering for that, please email me at info@akashicwisdom.com, or you can call me on my personal number after the show is over or tomorrow at 216-691-1233. And I'd also like to put a big thank you out to Frank for emailing me the information about contacting his connections there in New York City. Actually, on Long Island. Thank you very much for that email. And, okay, so I just wanted to tell you about that. And so Lori Rian's going to be calling. We're going to be talking to her next week. We're going to talk about the workshop. We're also going to talk about her whale trip. Her whale trip's coming up on the 24th. And then she also has a special program on the 25th to help the children. So we really want your support. So we'll be talking about all of that next week, and that's on April 11th, 4/11/2010. So be sure and tune in. Okay, so let's go to our first question. And this question is from Lisa. And her question is, please help me with this one. What is the issue between me and my father? I have a very difficult time connecting with him on any level. He is a very intense individual. When we sit across the table from him, I feel the need to run from the room to get away from him. My parents told me of the story of the time I was 6 months old, left in my father's care while my mother took a break. I cried from the minute she left the house until she returned. Nothing my father did stopped my crying. Could I have felt that same need to flee from him, even at 6 months old? What is causing this block? And so Lisa actually emailed this question to me in enough time so that I was able to ask her to email her current legal name and her father's current legal name, of which I'm not going to say the whole name, but I have it in front of me, so I can actually ask the masters, teachers, and loved ones about this question to get an answer for Lisa. And by the way, for those people just tuning in, I access the Akashic Records with a specific sacred prayer. And the prayer was brought forward from the Mayans, and it was originally brought forward from the Pleiadians. So it went from the Pleiadians to the Mayans, and it was translated from Mayan to Spanish to English. And so the prayer that I use and the prayer that I teach is, it's a prayer you can say in English now, but it actually shifts the energy to make the information accessible. And so by the time the end of the workshop on next weekend, on May 1st and 2nd, by the end of that profound weekend, you will have all the tools you need to be able to access your personal Akashic Records on a daily basis. That's right, you will. And it doesn't make any difference how much experience you have had metaphysically. In fact, sometimes it's easier if you don't have anything to compare it to. But it's not about meditation. It's not about closing your eyes. It's not about clearing your mind. It's about being willing to receive. And it's all done consciously with your eyes wide open so you can journal the information as it comes forward. And it's not channeling. So as you hear me now, I have my personal records open. And I have also have accessed Lisa's records. Not her father's, because I never got her father's permission. So I only got Lisa's permission to access here by asking the question. So that's where we're going with this. So we want to understand what is the block of this relationship between Lisa and her father in this lifetime. Well, what's important to understand here, Lisa, is that this block is not just on your, it's not just you. This is not just you, although you feel like you want to run away when you're with your dad. Part of that fear, and it's actually a flight or it's what they call the flight or fight syndrome is what I'm hearing, is that you have this fear and the word I'm hearing is of being violated. And I'm not saying that you were violated by your father in this lifetime. That is not what I'm saying. I'm not interpreting anything. What I'm doing is telling you that I'm giving you exactly what I'm seeing and hearing. And what I'm hearing from the masters, teachers, and loved one is that there is a fear of, and they're saying the word violated. Now, the violation, is that from this lifetime? The violation has to do with an emotional fear and what I'm also hearing of being suffocated. I'm not interpreting this. What they're showing me and what I'm hearing is it's as if his energy envelops you to the point where it's almost hard for you to speak. And when you were 6 months old and you were left in your father's care, what I'm hearing is his voice was very strong to you. And because you were not used to his energy, I'm going to use the word energy, when you would not stop crying, he raised his voice, because that's what adults do, because somehow they think that if they yell at a child, they'll start crying. But the idea is that his energy did envelop you when you were young, and you didn't recognize his energy as much as your mom's. And when he raised his voice, it scared you to such an extent that it made you gasp for air. That sense memory from the time you were 6 months old has stayed with you. That it feels that the feeling that you have is that you're suffocating when you're with your dad. Now, the fact that he's a very intense individual, it's not just you who has a hard time connecting with him. He has a hard time connecting with himself, and I don't mean to, it's not about me getting into his stuff, because that's not what's happening here. What if, as it relates to you, what you need to understand, and it's not just you, that his intensity has been born from a place of fear, and again, not to get into his stuff, but what they're telling me is that when he was a child, there were things that he saw or experienced that were so horrific that he can't even put them in words, and it has created an intensity around him that it's even something he would not even discuss. But it's created an intensity, and I'm hearing the word stubbornness that causes you this. I'm hearing brick wall, but I'm seeing slate wall. So it's not. It's slate. It's dark gray. Almost black, but it's not totally black. It's a gray slate wall that is between you, and it's actually a wall around his heart. So what's important for you to understand is for you to actually move into a place of compassion for yourself. And it's about reparenting your personal little one inside to let her know that she is safe and she will never be hurt. You will not allow anyone to hurt her. However, this relationship or lack of relationship with your father has affected you in a very deep way. In your what I'm hearing in is from a relationship point of view with men. And it seems that your pattern is to find emotionally unavailable men. And you may be getting over this, but it's a pattern. And so what you want to do is really start moving into your own personal self-acceptance and self-nurturing. And they're also saying that if you haven't already done so, it would be very important that you write a letter to your dad. It's not about giving to him or mailing it, but it's about really pouring your feelings out and notice where these feelings that you have, where they manifest in your body. Is it your throat? Is it your heart? Where is where is the where are the block? Where do you feel the blocks the most? I hope this has been helpful, Lisa. If you have further questions, I encourage you to, you can email me tonight while I'm on the radio. That'd be great. And if you have other questions, email me for another time. Or consider consider having a consultation, because there's possibly more here that could be helpful, that would be more specific if we were to be able to talk back and forth. Okay, so I just want to make that comment. Also want to make a comment about, there's a petition out. I'm changing the subject right now. There is a petition that would be important. If you would like me to forward it to you to sign, I would be happy to do it. It's the petition to help stop the nutritional supplement prohibition, okay? There seems to be some type of a rule or a legislation to ban supplements. It's I guess it's by Senator McCain. And so if you would like to be a part of signing that petition, I would be happy to forward it to you. Again, just email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. And signatures for the petition to reject S.3002, the Nutritional Supplement Prohibition Act. And it's to prohibit supplements. I would like you to do that. Hello, we've got a caller on the air. Hello, caller.
Yes, hello? Hi, Dana. This is Cheryl. I'm in New Jersey. I have two questions for you that have really been pressing me lately.
Okay.
One is with my daughter. I have this estrangement with my daughter that I just can't figure out what's the cause of it, and she's just estranged herself from me, and I wonder if it will or could ever rectify itself, what the masters have to say about that.
Okay, and let me, is your name Cheryl with a C or an S?
An S.
It's S-H-E-R-Y-L?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, and what is your daughter's first name?
Brina, B-R-I-N-A.
B-R-I-B-R.
B as in boy, R-I. N, like Nancy, A, Brina.
Oh, Brina, okay. How old is Brina?
She's 34.
Okay. All right. So the reason it works better if I can have your, I'm not asking you to give me your last names over the air, but if you were able to email me your name and her name, it sometimes works better that way. But let me just see what the master's teachers and loved ones have to say about... Now, how long has she been estranged from you?
Almost 4 years.
And she just stopped calling or coming around, or what?
We started getting close again, and she had come back into my life. She was given to her father's parents when she was a kid, because there was some, addiction problems going on with me when she was a kid. So she wasn't really raised by me.
Okay.
But then after she got married and had her first child, she got in touch with me and wanted to be part of my life. And then she came to visit, and she stayed close and called every day. And then all of a sudden, she just wouldn't answer my calls anymore. And even my grandchildren don't call, and I don't know what I've done. And I just, she sends me every year pictures of the kids with maybe like a one-sentence note saying, here are the new pictures, I hope you enjoy them, love, Brina. That's it. But I can't contact her. She doesn't answer her phone when I call or anything. I don't know what's going on.
Are you totally sober now?
Oh, absolutely. For like 27 years, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, so so the issue here between there seems to be a I've just got to wait for them to start talking to me about what's really going on between Cheryl and Brina here. I'm getting the feeling here that, and they're not being specific, but here, what, there's something that went on that triggered her remembering of abandonment. And you may not even, but what you really, what I'm hearing is you need to go back in time mentally to when she stopped contact with you, and try to remember a conversation or an action. And what I'm hearing is there was some type of cancellation of an event, or you were supposed to be with her or meet her or talk to her, and somehow you didn't do that. I don't know what came up. I'm not getting the picture totally. I'm just hearing that it had to do that there was a trigger of an abandonment feeling based on an innocent action of yours. It wasn't anything that was intentional. And there is also, I'm also hearing that there was a feeling from her that somehow boundaries had been overstepped in regard to her children. Whether it was a comment about what she should be doing with the kids or could be doing as far as raising the kids, something that she took umbrage with, and they're using the word umbrage. They're using that word interestingly, and they're saying it's almost like that. There's that, and then there's also somehow there's a feeling, and again, not to get into her stuff, but there's also somehow there's a feeling of being disloyal. Now, are you still in touch with her grandparents who raised her? Are they off the planet already?
Well, they were off the planet. And yes. God, they hated me, and they were alcoholics themselves, and they badmouthed for a whole life against me,
Well, there's something that either a relative, somebody said
her
something.
Her father had remarried maybe about 10 years ago. He lives not too far from her. And she has his brother, her uncle, and an aunt who's an active alcoholic right now.
Well, there's something going on within that within those connections, that literally turned her head, and for whatever reason, there was a guilt trip laid upon her about connecting with you again.
Right, I could buy into that very easily because that has always been the MO there.
And so what would be what the master's teachers and loved ones are suggesting, Cheryl, is that you write her back. And there was like it's very important that you keep in contact with her, even if it's through letter or card. Do you send her kids stuff?
Okay, I have been sending some cards to her, but I never get any.
Well, that's okay. The idea is that. There's something going on where it's
she's an alcoholic, but as far as I last spoke with her, she wasn't active. But I know she has an alcohol problem if she picks up, and her marriage was like kind of shaky a while back then when she was in my life, and she was dabbling with, you know, like drugs. I don't know what's going on now. She's completely okay with that, those two things. Worry, but.
Well, the thing is you have to understand something, that we all have our own path, Cheryl. And what's going to be very important for you to understand is that no matter how you slice it, she chose you to be her mom, and you chose her to be her daughter, to have her as a daughter. She chose your DNA pool to come into. She chose the experience, and you both have a contract with each other. And whether or not that contract is fulfilled, I'm not seeing that right now. But no one comes into this lifetime without a purpose. And no one chooses their parents without a purpose. And you need to know, and you need to also release yourself from the guilt that you feel about giving her up so young.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been working on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it sent me into a spiral, so it just, you know, I've been through hell and back a few times until I finally got myself sobered and said, hey, you know, I really don't want to die, and even though my life is screwed up and my baby is gone, you know, I got to go on, and I got to get myself together here.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that's the piece. The piece is that whatever, you know, we never know why we choose, from a soul's perspective, the life that we choose. Because, boy,
right.
If somebody were to tell us, you know, you're gonna get into body and you're gonna have these different choices, and, you know, make the one that's best for you at the time, and we zig instead of zagging, we still are there to experience the experience we came to experience. And again, it doesn't have any logic for us from a human point of view. It makes no logical
exactly.
sense. Okay? And so that's where you have to toss logic out and say, I am who I am. I here's what I like about my life, here's what I don't like about my life, here's what I can change about my life, and here's what I can't change about my life. And so all we can do is change what we can change. And,
exactly.
And everything else, we just have to be able to say, I'm doing the best I can with what I have. And the idea of whether or not the rift will ever be healed or eliminated is still out for debate, because it's a choice that both she and you have to make. I mean, it's not a matter of you not wanting to be close to her. It's whether or not she's ready to be close to you.
Yes.
And what the other piece that the master's teachers and loved ones are showing me is that whenever you think of her, it would be very important to imagine your heart, a beautiful ball of light in your heart, right in your center of your chest. And imagine that light moving like a stream of light. Imagine the ball of light staying in the center of your chest. And imagining a stream of light coming up through your crown chakra at the top of your head. And imagine that light moving very high up to your higher self. And allowing that light be taken from your higher self to her higher self. And that's the light of love. No strings. It's not about connecting your heart to her heart. It's about asking that your love, your unconditional love, be taken from your heart, move it up through your crown chakra to your higher self, with the intention that your higher self would take it to her higher self without any strings. So it's not about, if I do this, maybe I'll get close to her. No, it's about, I want to send her love. I want to send her unconditional love, no matter what. Are you okay with doing that?
Oh, absolutely. That's a beautiful gesture that I'm very capable of doing, yes.
I think you are. You've got a beautiful heart, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Yes, you've got a beautiful heart, and you're capable of a huge amount of loving. And so what they're suggesting is that you do that not only for your daughter, but for your grandchildren as well.
All right, I will do that. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that, because that's always on my mind, you know. But I just ask you another question.
Oh, sure. But I just want to make a they're also making a comment here, Cheryl, that when you do that, notice the peace that you feel after you do that. Try even now. Just take a moment. You can ask me another question, but just take a moment and imagine that beautiful ball of anybody else who's listening. If there's somebody you want to send love to, that you have in a strange relationship, just imagine a beautiful ball of light in the center of your chest.
Take a nice deep breath, and now
allow that light to move upwards through your body. Through the top of your head, through your crown chakra.
Yes.
And now see that light move beyond the heavens, directly to source and your higher self.
Yes.
And in your mind, I and your heart knowing, ask that unconditional love be sent on to, and then silently mention the name of the person you want it to go to. And see that light just bathing them in unconditional light and love.
Okay.
Doesn't it feel good?
Very, very good. Very good. It gives me a very warm feeling all the way up from the base of my spine all the way. It's very beautiful. Feeling.
And so anytime you think of her, just send her the light and love. Anytime you think of your grandchildren, just send them the light and love. Anytime you think of your brother-in-law, send him light and love. Because it's really about shifting your energy into a place of unconditional loving for others as well as yourself. No strings, just love.
So I can do that a few times a day if I
can
felt
do it,
like it.
You can do 100 times a day
if
you want.
In other words, right?
You can't love somebody too much. You can't send too much love, and you can't send too much light. So, you know, and you don't have to reserve it just for your daughter and her children and your brother-in-law. You can send it to. You can do that with anyone. Even the ones you know love you. There is no boundaries on this. You can do that with everyone and anyone.
What a wonderful thing that is! Thank the masters for me. That's so beautiful.
You're welcome. Absolutely welcome.
My other question was the frustration that I feel with my husband, because it's like we're on different wavelengths. And I know everybody wakes up to reality whenever they're supposed to, and I'm always impatient, and it's just, you know, to get rid of the frustration.
What's his first name?
His name is Joe. Having a waffle card time with him.
And your first name is S-H-E or S-H-A-R-Y-L?
S-H-E-R-Y-L.
Yeah, okay. And so his name is Joseph, or Joe, right?
Yes, Joe.
So what do you want from him that you're not getting?
I guess I want him to be more, he's very fear-based, and...
He's very what?
Negative, and he's
very negative.
Short-tempered. He screams a lot. He gets flustered and frustrated very easily. And, you know, he, it's just, what do I want for him to be happy, but I also want to be happy. And it just, you know, it's like I feel like I'm pulling a dead horse trying to get him on board with a lot of the, you know, the New Age stuff and this and that. And
how long have you been together?
On what he's focused on, and I'm the type of person that I like to learn new things all the time. I think that's part of the reason I came here, to constantly be in school, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Right.
To learn, and he's not interested when learning anything new.
And how long have you been together?
A little over, about 12 years, actually, yeah.
Was he like this when you first met him?
No, he was more attentive to me, but no.
I mean, was he curious 12 years ago, and did he have a different attitude?
No.
He is who he is, then.
Yeah. I've changed so much. That's what it is.
Here's what part of what's coming forward here is there is a, what I'm hearing, again, not to get into his stuff, but what I'm hearing is there are things that he totally does not understand about you. And his way, and rather than admitting that he doesn't understand them, because he's very prideful, in other words, like he doesn't want to appear stupid. And yet, what's going on here is, what I'm hearing is his way of combating his insecurities is to actually become more aggressive rather than less aggressive. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does, yeah.
And I'm hearing that he got that from his father.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, and okay. So, and he also had a very, I'm hearing kind of an odd relationship with his mom. Does that make sense?
Well, the odd relationship, I don't know. I don't know. It could be, you know.
And there was like, it was estranged. It was like, it wasn't like, he was always trying to get her approval, and his he could never get his father's approval. In fact, it's like his father and he kind of butted heads on everything.
Yeah, his father was a musician. He was never home, and he has four brothers, and he's the firstborn, so he stepped in and he played, I guess, the husband and father role when his father was out, you know, all the nights playing and stuff. So, yeah,
sure.
So I guess it considered an odd relationship, yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm not saying anything abnormal. I'm just saying it was odd. And the,
right.
And the thing, yeah, the thing is that the piece here is that one of the things that he's never learned is how to express his emotions.
No, that's for sure.
And the only way he knows how to express himself is through anger, or if you'll excuse me, sex.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the idea here is that and because he doesn't know how to express himself, you're growing in a whole different way, and so here's your task, if you will. Your task is to realize after 12 years this man hasn't changed, and the reality is he's not going to.
Mm-hmm.
He is who he is. He's not interested in what you're interested in. He doesn't want to be interested in what you're interested in. That doesn't mean that he doesn't care or love you. It's just that he's a very difficult guy to live with.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to decide is, can you love him for who he is exactly as he is? Without expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an answer for that, or do you need to think about that?
Yeah, no, I know.
So the reality is that we constantly want our partners to be something that they're not, and we get mad at them for not being who we want them to be. And the reality is they are who they are, and they've always been who they've been, and that's just kind of what we found. But the piece mm-hmm. is when we want them to be somebody other than who they are, and they can't be that, they end up feeling insecure and angry that they're not pleasing you.
Mm-hmm. I see. Right. That makes sense.
And so when you're constantly walking in a place of feeling like a failure, you're going to get angry, and you got to protect
mm-hmm.
yourself. So the reality here is you need to decide whether or not you can, again, they're saying, can you love him for exactly who he is without him changing? And if you can, then you need to realize that he's not going to go along, he's not going to like the New Age stuff, and that that's just not going to be a part of your relationship, that you need to find women friends to share that with, or a community of people that you can, like a Unity Church or somebody, some other place that you can go that you can get your metaphysical, you know, stimulation. We're not saying
right.
another man. We're saying a, you know, a community of friends.
Right, right.
But the reality is that wanting him to be somebody other than who he is only going to cause him more problems than you two.
Okay.
And there's nothing you can do to make him different, because he doesn't want to be different.
Yeah, I guess that's the bottom line.
The bottom line is
he's not the answer before I asked.
Yeah.
You. I just want to.
Yeah. The bottom line is he's not curious about what you're curious about. He's really happy exactly the way he is, watching television and drinking a beer.
That's very true.
And so, whatever you want to do, you need to do on your own. And as sad as that might make you, again, you have a decision to make. Are you staying or are you going? After 12 years and in a certain amount of time, it gets to the point where people say, I don't want to start over again. On the other hand, there's other people who say, I'm not going to live the rest of my life like this. I'd rather be alone. And the master's teachers and loved ones are not suggesting either one for you. They're saying it's up to you to decide what you want your life to look and feel like. And you're going to be loved no matter what you choose.
I didn't hear that last thing. What did you say?
I said it's up to you to decide how you want your life to look and feel. And you're going to be loved no matter what you choose. Spirit's going to love you no matter what you choose to do.
Who's going to love me no matter what I choose to do?
God.
Oh, yes.
Spirit, God, universe.
Yes, yes. I didn't hear you one clear.
That's
yes,
okay.
Yes.
That's okay. Yeah. Yeah, Spirit, God, whatever word you use for divine power, you know, you're deeply loved by the universe. Whatever we choose. It's like when I was talking, you know, earlier about with your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about we make our way, we make our choices, and then we have to look at what is this choice that I've made? How is that improving my life? How is it hurting my life? Or what am I learning by this?
Right.
You know, may I ask how old you are?
Yes, I'm 55.
Do you work outside the home?
No.
So the idea here is that, you know, you need to make some decisions about how you want your life to look and feel. And if part of that is appreciating him for who he is, and looking at the positive aspects of who he is and building up the positive aspects, he may end up being less short-tempered.
Okay.
They're not guaranteeing that. They're saying is that how much water has gone under the dam? Can you truly love him for who he is?
Mm-hmm.
And not condemn him for who he is not.
Right, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope that was helpful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I hope that was helpful.
Yeah. And thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Cheryl.
You've given me a lot to think about.
Not to think about. Yeah. And if I ever come, do you have an email address? Don't give it to me now. But if you have an email address, email me.
Yes, I do. Uh-huh.
Okay. Email me, and I will, because there's a possibility I might be coming to Long Island, and if you're near Long Island, I'll let you know.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Thank you, Dana.
It's Donna. Yeah, and
oh, Donna. I didn't know how to pronounce it.
I know.
D-A-H. I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's Da. And my email address is info@Akashic was I-N-F as in Frank O, like information,
right.
But info. At AkashicWisdom.com.
Okay.
Okay?
.com. AkashicWisdom.com. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, darling. You have a wonderful day. And notice that you can release yourself from the bondage of your own feelings, and you can resurrect yourself into a new life without changing your marital situation.
Okay.
You realize that? I mean, it's possible. I'm not saying it's easy, but
mm-hmm.
it's possible. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you again so much.
All right, dear. All right. Be well.
All right. I'll email you. Thank you.
Great. That's great. Okay. Well, you see that?
Okay. Good night now.
Good night, dear. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. See, ladies and gentlemen, you know, when we partner with our partners, we are brought together, and we don't know why, but we are. We're brought together for a reason. There's sometimes we stay with people, and we don't know why we stay with them. We fall in love, and we don't understand what the chemistry is all about, but yet we stay. Sometimes it's just pure laziness, that we don't feel like change, and we don't like change, and so we stay. And sometimes we stay because we don't know what else to do. And sometimes we stay and we can't even understand or explain why we're attracted to that person, but we are. And there's many people who spend years and years and years and years together. And other people look at them and say, what do they see in each other? They're so different. Yet there's a bond that is inexplainable. And that's when you have to honor that bond. And you have to just pull back and begin accepting that person for who they are. Again, rather than condemning them for who they're not. And when we start accepting people for who they are, and loving who they are, again, rather than blaming them or asking them to be different than who they are, relationships shift. Your partner may never be interested in meditation. Your partner may never enjoy listening to this program. Your partner may never want to understand about reincarnation. But there's other things your partner is really good at and is really grounding for you. And then you need to make the decision of whether or not it's worth it to stay, or is it more important for you to start anew? I encourage you to do what's in your heart. I encourage you to work on your own personal stuff before you leave any relationship if you can't, unless it's abusive. Of course, if it's abusive and there's physical abuse and there's or emotional or mental abuse, then you need to run. Don't walk away from the relationship. That's for sure. But if it's just a matter of a difference of opinion, a different style, then you've got to look at it. But, you know, anything that smacks of feeling less than or abusive or, again, especially physical abuse. If you're in a relationship that is physically abusive, I strongly encourage you, don't stay and try and work it out. It never gets better. Especially whether it's emotional or mental, you need to take care of you. So, you have to decide what your bondage is. You have to decide what you want to be resurrected from. You have to decide who you want to be. And you have to decide how you want your life to look and feel. So this is Easter Sunday. I hope you all have a wonderful sunrise on Monday. I hope you have a wonderful week. I want to also remind you again that I will be in San Diego on April 28th doing a lecture in the Carlsbad Oceanside area. Please email me for the exact location and the cost, which is $15. And I'll also be in the Carlsbad Oceanside area at the Level 1 on the 1st and 2nd of May. And listen in next week. We're going to be talking about whales and dolphins and animal communication and Akashic records and all sorts of wonderful things. So please tune in next week. And now it's time for me to say goodnight. And I want to just wish you all a miracle-filled week. So at this point, I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, I close the records for the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on April 4th, 2010, by saying, Amen, Amen, Amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Again, have a miracle-filled week. Give me a call at 216-691-1233 if you have any personal questions, or email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. This is Donna Fox saying I love you all. Good night.